Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michelle Price from A Third Mind Interactive Media. You're listening to the Business of Online Thought Leadership, where our mantra is connectivity is the new currency. Connecting others with through new media is something that I believe I was destined to do, but more importantly, what you were destined to do. Beyond creating a brand, beyond creating a message, creating a platform. And not just any platform, but one that positions you as a thought leader. So here we are now, where women and other leading-edge thinkers come to experience those who are building platforms using the technology of Web 2.0 and beyond, blogs, social networking, podcasting, online video, and discover how they can do the same thing. So today I'm on the phone with one of my best friends and colleagues, Gurutej Kaur, and let me see if Gurutej is here with us. How about that?
I am.
Gurutej, you here?
I'm here. I am.
Wonderful, wonderful. You did it. We made it.
Yes, we did.
We did. So, as you know, this is my second show, and you were kind enough to step in at the last minute, and I totally want to appreciate you for that.
Well, it was my gift. It just worked out.
Good.
You kept me out of the rain for a little while longer.
So I'm going to tell people a little bit about you, okay?
Okay.
So Gurutej, I'm going to talk about Gurutej, and I'm going to let you know exactly who Gurutej is because she's powerful. So she's a Kundalini yoga master with 40 years of experience, and she has deep experience with creating communities on a very large scale. I mean, real physical communities in the real world. And now she's reinventing her business to focus on, among other things, teaching entrepreneurs how to use the principles and foundations of Kundalini yoga to re-energize themselves in 90 seconds or less. And I thought that was so intriguing that I want to know more. So we met when she heard me speak, and then she brought me in to teach her the new skill sets for this new economy, a new networked economy, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, blogging specifically. And now she's really doing some interesting things with online video. So Gurutej, from discovering Kundalini yoga so long ago to launching a hugely successful venture in Canada, those H2O centers, to running your own yoga center, to coaching MTV reality show stars, to now making a decision to master the social media and launching just a kick-butt YouTube channel to forward your business, what continues to pull you forward to learn all of this new stuff?
Really, truly, is to realize how much I don't know. As I told you in the beginning, it's like I feel like I'm growing the chip, you know, the chip that the 20 and 30-somethings come in with, and certain people just actually have it. And
mm-hmm.
other people literally have to grow it, and it's not easy. And I can't tell you how many of my friends and people that I know in different businesses that are my age or, you know, in their 50s, they're just like, oh, God, I don't want to do that, or I know I have to do that, but I'm resisting, and I'm just – and I just decided that I didn't want to be the way with Web 2.0 that my father was with computers. I was kind of like, no, I'm not going to do that. He cut off the whole access to email, and I thought, if I don't do this, I have no idea what I'm cutting off the access to.
Wow, okay. So you just embraced it.
I did, and I have to say that it's been more like a dance, you know, like two steps forward, three steps back, two steps forward, and, you know, as you well know, there were times at the beginning where I was just like, okay, throw the computer or do a handstand.
and you have to see Gurutej do this handstand. If anybody here listening, you have to go to her site. It's she's at gurutej.com is one of her sites. Gurutej, let's talk about how you're at the process of how you're taking what you do in the physical world in your physical yoga center, the Blessing Center, and some of the ways that I actually see that you can use to make it more virtual. And let's talk about, you know, some of the things that you are working on now. So you have a video series that you created. Let's talk about how the video series was born.
The video series was born out of, you know, just knowing that these teachings are so important and that they needed to get out to people. And now when I look around and I see what I chose to do, you know, chakra balancing really means to get all of your energy centers balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Mental balance. Who do you know that doesn't need more mental clarity? Is
mm-hmm.
there anybody right now who doesn't need to have more mental clarity so they can see into the future more than just being stuck in the freaking out of the moment.
And then
immune system, which is so much about when we're under stress, our immune system goes down. And here we are at this time of the year that the immune system really is being challenged by what we eat and what, you know, what we do, as well as just the stress of normal holiday seasons to most people, but then on top of it, all of the financial stress that so many people are under right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then awakening the intuition for women, because I've done so much work with women over the years. I've, you know, taught so many retreats and so many women's classes, and realize that when we give up our intuition, we've literally lost our guiding light. And we need to know what that sounds like and how to connect with it. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the web is so much about that, because it's really like figuring out how you can spend your time effectively so that you find out who you can support and who can support you. And you need your intuition to do it. Like, okay, you can learn Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Ning and, you know, all these sites, but it's like, where do you really need to be? Where does your energy need to be at any one time? And we need our intuition to do that so that we
mm-hmm.
don't feel like spread all over the place, overwhelmed, and I can't do it, and then we just chuck the whole thing, right?
Right. So one of the things that your work, and I just think it translates so well into, it's, here's what I always thought. Stuff is always created, stuff. Media is always created digitally first, no matter what it is. And then it goes into physical form. But this
mm-hmm.
way, it's, you've got your digital, you've got your DVDs, and your DVDs transfer very well. Like you just mentioned, those, all those topics are so applicable to what people need today. And what I really found the most fascinating about what it is that you do is those exercises that you have in your YouTube channel. Literally, you're giving that stuff away, but people can use that to defrag right then and there. Or to just, not even defrag, right? Is it to just get the energy back?
Right. It, well, one of them is to release, and one of them is to rejuvenate yourself. So, you know, when we get into situations where we're on overwhelm, where we've just got too much coming in, almost everybody right now needs to learn how to release things so that we don't hold on to things, whether it's anger, upset, you know, just too much stress, too many things coming at us. And then you can rejuvenate. You know, you can't really rejuvenate before you release.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like knowing how to release and then doing some rejuvenation. So having them both work in tandem with each other is really
mm-hmm.
great.
The first things that
you
do
all of
then?
About 3 minutes to, you know, to do.
So
to
the
it.
First thing you do is release, or do, is the first thing you do rejuvenate?
First thing you do is release. You want to release old energy so that you can rejuvenate. Otherwise, you're rejuvenating on top of, and then you got to go release, right?
Mm-hmm. So then if you rejuvenate, the first thing you want to do is release. So what you decided was the videos that you had, did you create a specific series of videos that would, the ones that you give away, your channel, it's, is
I'll
it the Energy Gurus?
It's the Energy Guru on YouTube, yes.
Okay.
And, no, I actually just asked people that I had taught, businesses that I had taught, I said, which, if you got to choose, which were the most important ones for you?
Mm.
And I took that input and utilized it, and that's what I started out with. Actually, now there's 10. There was 6, but now there's 10.
So there's 10. So tell me what's in, and do you watch them in sequence, or do you just watch them based
no,
on
you can just
what it
pick
is that
one
you
that,
need?
That seems like it's relevant to you at the time, right? And then watch them.
So you go to, we go to youtube.com/ The Energy Guru, and
mm-hmm.
we can actually look at these videos, and they're going to help us release energy and then rejuvenate.
Right. And if you like them, then you can buy the flip charts that have a whole lot more of those in them. Yep.
Okay. But it's a way for people to get a sample of what it is that
Absolutely.
You're doing.
It is.
And decide whether it's worth it.
When they sign into my site, they actually get 4 of them that will come to them in an email that are downloadable.
Ah, so.
Yeah. So,
when they go to
yeah.
gurutej.com?
Mm-hmm. Either one of
okay.
the sites, they get it downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one of the things you did when you were first learning this and you were on the boot camp that I did, the social networking boot camp, is you had this you had this experience of that, you know, you got off the phone, you said, and then you talked to your somebody that was there with you, and you did this almost monologue thing. And
yes,
I thought
yes.
it was so funny. I just laughed hysterically. So what I wanted to find out is if you would share with some of the listeners just how, okay, so if this woman who is a Kundalini yoga master can learn how to, you know, she knows when she's on overload and she's learning all this new stuff and you figured out how to just bring yourself back, right?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that it was like beginner's overwhelm, complete beginner's overwhelm, and I was like wrestling with the computer. I had LinkedIn up, and it was like, download your picture. Well, I have lots of really great pictures from over the years, you know, professional pictures that I've had taken for, you know, different things. And so I thought, oh, that's not a big deal. I've got my pictures. I have them, you know, in files. I can go get a picture in a JPEG. It's in a JPEG file and put it up there, and I kept trying and trying to download it, and it just spun and spun and spun. I was like, what is wrong? It's a JPEG. You say you take JPEGs. Okay, so I thought, okay, give it a break. Go somewhere else. Do something else. So then I decided, okay, I'm going to try to download, you know, some of my videos onto
uh-huh.
my Facebook. So
okay, meaning so upload. Upload some of your videos.
Upload them. Yeah, and then
upload
like,
them, right.
Upload, and there's a, such this little, you know, widget that was right there looking at me that said Facebook. It was like piece of cake. I got them downloaded or uploaded onto my my Guru Tej Facebook, but then I wanted to do it onto my Energy Guru site, my fan page.
Mm-hmm.
Nada. It just kept loading them over and over again onto my Guru Tej site. So now I have two sites open. I'm getting nothing done on either one of them. My design person who's setting up my Energy Guru site calls me up and says, I need your password. I'm like, okay, I know what she's talking about. I've got all of my, you know, my different sites were all registered at that time on DirectNIC. I can go there and I can, you know, go in and get my, you know, get what she needs and for that site. Well, I had two sites there, our two different accounts, and I couldn't remember the passwords to either one of them. And then the crowning glory was they ask me, they say, okay, that's all right. Do you want one of your questions? You know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I want one of those saving questions. Give me that question. I put that in there. I should know what it is. What street did you grow up on? I'm like, I remember what street I grew up on, you know. So I put in the street, and they're going, that's not the correct answer. I'm like, that is the correct answer. I know it's the correct answer. I'm like, okay, get a hold of yourself. Do a handstand or throw your computer. This is a place where a lot of people throw their computers or just say, I'm
mm-hmm.
never touching this again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did my handstand. Then I went up and I just did this routine in great exaggerated form of what I gave you. And
uh-huh.
I just laughed and I was like, okay, remember, you have all your things, your passwords and everything for almost every site in your address book. Go look in your address book. So I got that one thing taken care of. Actually, I called my designer, and she said, oh, I already have it. I had it in my address book. I said, me too.
Wow.
So that one got taken care of. Then I asked somebody, I think you, and you said, oh, you have to downsize your picture. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, okay, well, that sounds
It was
so
just
cute.
A little simple tweak, and
what?
But yet, you know, it wasn't simple to you. But I really just had so much respect for you because you were serious about learning this because you're serious about getting your ideas and thoughts out there into this world so that people could benefit from them. So that was the thing that I admired the most.
Yeah, that was the guiding light, really, of like feeling like, okay, I'm hooked into some good people. I'm, you know, but it's like not fun to be at first grade when you feel like everybody else is in high school or college and you're like,
uh-huh.
oh, but, you know. But I'll tell you, like, I've been doing this, what, almost 6 months, not even?
Yes, almost 6 months.
And
I think it is 6 months. It is 6 months.
Yeah. And I've just, like, I actually this weekend helped somebody set up their Facebook site and turned them on to Twitter, you know. And I know.
And I saw that. I saw that you tweeted about that.
And Twitter, and I've got, you know, widgets that I'm using, and I've set up an affiliate program. And
whoa.
Getting all of my, you know, lists into AWeber and
listen to
I
you
have,
talking the lingo.
courses on, you sign into my site, you get, a bonus. I actually have my first ebook put together. Things
How
that I
that
didn't
feel?
Even know the words to, Well, it feels great, but it also still feels like maybe I've gone to second grade or maybe I'm halfway through first grade.
Mm-hmm. No, you know what? You're at sixth grade if you've done all that. You're actually in middle school. You're almost in high school because there are so many people. 90, I would judge that 98% of people never get that far.
And I have a blog. I don't do it more than once a week. Usually I'd like to do it twice a week, but, I do have a blog. And so at some point I'll be doing it more, and it will help a lot of people because there's a tremendous amount of good information on my blog.
So that brings us to the point of you are actually building your platform.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Slowly but surely. I think that's the biggest thing for me that I kind of wished somebody had said to me in the beginning, mm-hmm. because I was dealing with people who had been doing this for a long time, and a lot of things were so second nature to them,
mm-hmm.
that just saying, it's just one step in front of the other. You're not going to learn this in a day, a week, or a month. And don't give up because it feels like it's challenging,
mm-hmm.
In the first part, and that you don't know this language. It's like really going into another world,
mm-hmm.
and you've gone into another world, and you don't know the language, and you don't understand it, but it doesn't mean that you won't love the world. You just have to be willing to take it slowly and be patient with yourself, and when you've mm-hmm. had enough, step away.
Stand on your head.
Exercise. That's when you want to go to YouTube and just do the exercises with me. Really, I think that's what I feel like. If some of this stuff can be integrated into some of these learning platforms, that if people can just be encouraged in the middle of, you're talking about Ning and you're teaching people what Ning can do, and you feel that overwhelm, because you're a very intuitive person, you feel that overwhelm happening.
Mm-hmm.
That you go, okay, and now we're going to stop and we're going to do one of these exercises. Okay,
now for a break, we're going
for
to go
break,
to
yeah.
we're going to youtube.com/theenergyguru and let's do the mental clarity exercise together.
yeah, absolutely.
Well, what's exciting to me for you is that you're actually positioned as a leading thinker in your industry. So in an industry where most of the people are not doing what it is that you're doing, typically you have people, you don't have somebody that's got the 40 years of experience with this very specialized and popular, now it's actually becoming more popular, yoga is coming back, in force. You've got people that aren't expert at it, but they're blogging about it, so people tend to listen to them. So that was my thinking and my encouragement to get you with your vast amount of knowledge to share that and just, overcome the technology. Let the technology I always say technology is a tool, it's an enabler. You have the experience already. So what I'd like to dig into a little bit is in terms of how you could, let's kind of brainstorm a little bit, how you could bring all this together. You and I have talked about an online community for this type, where you could house all of your content and teach people what it is that you're teaching, in your studio. You could actually put videos into a community, an online community, and people could become members of that community.
Well, videos and audios, too. I've now done about, I think this is about my 12th internet radio program.
So they could also get that. They could get that as content. And then the idea that I had for you that, I think you might be able to hear it now where you couldn't hear it a few months ago is that there are two live video streaming channels that are completely free to use. One is called Ustream and one is called Mogulus. And you could literally, you have such a beautiful studio in your home that you could be streaming live at noon, yoga with the energy guru at noon or something, and have people tune in for a yoga session. Or you could teach them what you're doing, and then the way that you would monetize that is you could actually have a link to where they could buy the particular technique or you know, like you mentioned, Mental Clarity or Intuition for Women, or, you know, those DVDs, or even, you know, join your online community. What do you think about that?
Yes, I think that that's definitely a possibility, and I think it's good. I also think the other thing I really want to start doing is teleseminars, because right now, you know, these techniques that I have, there's a lot of people that will say, oh, I can't, I don't have the time or the energy to do a yoga class. I know I should and that. But really to work with people on how to think of their energy in every aspect of their life.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, let's elaborate a little bit more about that. How do you see that? How would that work on a teleseminar?
Because people think of energy as something either they have or they don't have.
Okay.
They don't necessarily think of it as something that they can actually learn how to regulate and how to get. You know, you and I have talked about before that, you know, what we eat and how we eat it and all of that is incredibly important. I just had one of the women who's at this business that I work with regularly, and I called her up. It was her birthday today, and she's lost 40 pounds. And I said, you know, how does that feel? She said, it feels so good, I can't even tell you. And she started losing weight after I started working with the business. She said, now when I just have to, you know, I get down on myself, I go to the pet store and I pick up two 21-pound bags of kitty litter, and I walk down the aisle with them just to remember how much I've lost and how horrible it feels to have that extra weight on.
Wow.
You know, she said, you know, my knees aren't bothering me, my joints don't hurt, all these kinds of things. Well, it takes a lot of energy to work around pain, physical, mental, spiritual pain, okay? So the best thing is to be able to not just override it, but to be able to actually learn how to work with it and how to release it. That's why I say release then rejuvenate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like looking at the things in our lives, looking at our sleep patterns, looking at our food, looking at our exercise, looking at our meditation or prayer, and looking at what we do, you know, on a regular basis throughout the day to energize ourselves. And so these are the things that, you know.
So the big thought that you have, this idea that you want to get out there in the world, is that people need to reframe the way they look at energy and understand that energy is everywhere, which is, you know, the movie The Secret kind of talked about that a little bit, and people are becoming more aware of that. But your message is, you know, what is a practical way?
Absolutely. And look at the beauty of it is we're looking at the energy of our planet right now. We're looking as a nation and as a world, like how we can be more conscious of our energy use, of things that we can do. I was at a meeting the other night, and, you know, it was an Obama meeting, and, you know, just like how people are going to plug in to this next thing. He can't do it by himself. Even him and his cabinet in the Congress can't do it by themselves. How are we going to all plug into that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it means we need more energy to take on one more thing in our lives, number one. And then it got down to what are we doing in our lives, you know, to look at our energy and how we save energy. And people started saying light bulbs, and I'm like, okay.
What did you think when somebody said light bulb?
You know, changing all your light bulbs. Okay, if everybody hasn't heard change all your light bulbs by now, you know, and, you know, take your own bags to the store, you know. But I think people think take your own bags to the grocery store. But do you take your own bags in when you go to Bed Bath & Beyond and Target and, you know, Barney's? Do you take your own recycling bags in wherever you go? I mean, that's one thing. And the other thing is like, you know, having a worm farm or a compost bin in your backyard.
Because I've been in your backyard. You've got that worm thing, that big barrel full of worms.
Yeah, but it really doesn't even look like anything. It looks like a droid over in the corner. It's not funky. It's not disgusting. It's not like it's like worms crawling everywhere, you know. But I don't throw anything down the garbage disposal, right?
Okay, so that's a way to save energy, right?
Absolutely, you're saving your energy, but then everything from the worms that the worms eat, they make soil that you can feed all of your plants in your backyard. And I put in gardens in my backyard that are vegetable gardens, right? Flower and vegetable gardens both. And so that, you know, I have the capacity to be able to feed myself. And there's just, you know, so many little things like this that we can all do. You know, you don't have a backyard, you can, you know, get a plot. You can talk to somebody in your neighborhood. Would they be into having you, you know, do it in their backyard? You'd be willing to do the work, and they could share, you know, the goodies with you. I think it's a time. I know it's a time. I mean, you said this about social networking, and it's so true. What is social networking about? Supporting each other, right?
Right.
It's about support. It's about who you can support and who's going to support you. And I think that that's the whole world right now. How can we support each other? How
mm-hmm.
can we share our gifts? I heard this wonderful line last night on this TV show. I was really tired. And I only watch TV when I'm too tired to do anything else.
Pay attention.
I can't work on anything. I can't read. I can't anything. So I was watching this show. I was kind of going back and forth between two shows, and I was watching this one. And it's this lawyer who something happened to him, and I can't remember the name of the program. And, you know, he all of a sudden gets this direct information from the infinite about what cases he should take and the strategy on how to win them. And then he sees these people's lives in the future. And this one girl was, they found her with in a shed full of clocks and all sorts of things taken apart, and she was accused of going to make a dirty bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to lock her away for like 25 years. Well, it turned out she's brilliant. She was beyond brilliant, but she was also obstinate and unwavering and stubborn and, you know, obnoxious. And the guy said to her, look, you either have a chance to go work with this guy or spend 25 years in prison and get out and have a felony charge and nobody will hire you. He said, remember that our gifts are not ours. They belong to the world. It's just up to us to use them.
Wow.
And I thought, okay. That's
so even though you were too tired, there was a message there for you.
Oh, such a good message. I mean, you know, the universe talks to us through everything if we just pay attention, right?
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. What are, you know, you have this concept called mental clarity. And why don't you talk a little bit about how, you know, like the video that you have that helps you get mentally clear, what, don't you think that you happen to believe that that's like the starting place for everything? It's like you take, what I find so interesting is if you talk about how to webify this, how long has Kundalini Yoga been around?
Thousands of years, but I mean, it's only been in the West for 40 years.
For 40 years. So, you know what, let's talk a little bit about that. You actually got an opportunity to work with the person that brought this to the United States or to the Western world?
Oh, yes. I met Yogi Bhajan about 6 months after he came over. Yeah. So, yes.
Okay.
I did.
And so then you went on to create these, you know, yoga centers, right? Were they yoga centers?
Yes. They were actually live-in yoga centers. So they weren't just yoga centers. They were actually communities. And, yes, I created communities all over Canada.
Right. So you totally get this concept of online community. And you know what? I'd like to go in maybe that direction a little bit. What parallels do you see in the communities that you created in Canada in the real world to the online communities of today? Is there, like, what's missing? Are they the same? Do you think the process, now that I'm thinking of it, with the process, like you set up how many? How many did you set up?
We set them up all over Canada. Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Fairfax, Calgary, Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that the real-world communities like you set up, how do they parallel the online communities that are starting to launch now, the ones that, you know, I'm getting into creating?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you some great ways that they parallel exactly is that you open the doors and whoever wants to shows up. Okay.
Ah.
You don't get to pick from, unless you have a closed community, you don't get to pick. You know, it's self-regulated, right? Whoever's interested in that or whoever's interested in you shows up at that thing. And then you get to feed them and keep them uplifted and keep them connected. And, you know, whoever is the moderator or whoever is the holder of the community is the one that's, you know, taken on the responsibility to keep the information flowing through that, right? To keep that integrity happening in it. For us, it was called sadhana. It was our, you know, it was our morning practice, our meditation and our yoga early in the morning. That was like...
What was that?
That was the main commitment. If you wanted
that
to
live in
that was
the glue kind of the community?
That was the glue. You had to say that you would be, you know, willing to do this and that you would be willing to participate in, you know, the keeping the community clean and together and, you know, that whole kind of thing. And then there were people, you know, so that's the first line. So it's really like in these online communities, there's people, by commenting, by, you know, having your input, you get to have input into the community. But I actually see that these communities are going to start being where there's going to be, instead of one person starting a community, that there's going to be a group of people that start these communities so that they can each take the part of it that they're really good at, as opposed to one person trying to hold all the parts, some of which they will be good at and some of which they are not that good at, right? Everybody's not good at each aspect of it. So some people are really good at content, and some other people are really good at, you know, finding the newest things to make the community more juicy, and somebody else is really good at getting the word out, and, you know, but the same person's not good at all of those things necessarily.
That's really interesting. So I think what you said that resonates with me the most is that communities end up being like these communities of like-minded, right? Like intent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that if you're not attracted, what's going to happen, like there's one called powerfulintentions.org. That's one of my favorite communities. And I'm noticing that that people create, they're allowed to create your own group within this community, and it's gone from having 6,000 members 6 months ago to having 12,000 members in this online community. And it's a law of attraction community, probably a pretty good community for you to create some type of a presence there. Judy Thomases, who was in our social networking class, she created the practical spirituality community inside of that community, a group inside of that community. What I did notice, though, is there's this guy, and I can't think, I don't know what his name is, and I'm not going to call him out on this show, but I created an online community for another company called Quattro, and it's the Quattro that we're going to both be teaching at. Okay, well, this guy must troll these online communities, and he finds new ones, and he joins the community, and he says the same thing in each message, and I just figured this out because it's happened 2 times now. So they booted him off of the Quattro community because he just totally was not in alignment. It was very clear that he was only there to promote his whatever it was. It was really stinky. And so when I joined this practical spirituality community, I noticed that when I joined the Powerful Intentions community, I noticed the same dude invited me to be his friend. And so I see that in a community like that, it makes me wonder, there's so many other people there. It seems to be a spirit of, it started off as law of attraction, but then it spun off into lots of different things, just very interesting things that have always been interesting to me, esoteric things, you know, astrology and EFT, emotional freedom, and all these different things. It's just a wonderful, it's just so interesting. I've gone there and spent like hours inside that place. But this guy, the same guy, you know, it just seems to me that they would be repelled by that, but they're not.
I think that it's like if nobody pays attention, it's what we withdraw our energy from leaves us, right? It's like if you don't pay attention to something, plant, a person, whatever. Whatever we withdraw our energy from moves away from us. So sometimes the most powerful thing is just ignore somebody. You know, get one or two things. They will stand on their hind legs and, you know, start screaming. But when I first started my website, which was years ago, I had, an internal blog, which I still have, and I had a comment section. But the only people at that time that commented were all of these places pushing penis enlargements and Viagra and all that kind of stuff. You know,
because you know what? They must troll the web automatically.
All automatically, yeah. They've got.
They call it splog now. Spam blog, blog spam.
Oh, yeah. It was so terrible, I had to make my web guy just shut it down, because I would spend like a half an hour in the morning just trying to clean up the massive amount that happened, because people go on my site and they were going like, are you really promoting Viagra and Cialis and penis enlargement patches? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the Kundalini experience of Viagra.
Yeah, right. So it was...
You could actually, I guess some people would equate that experience to a Kundalini awakening, maybe. Is that what it's like? I mean, I've never really experienced the Kundalini that people talk about, that energy.
What experience of seeing all this on a blog site?
No, but what Viagra does to you.
I have no idea. I haven't taken Viagra, but it sounds like it's some kind of an explosion. It's in the
right.
second shot, but it's like,
Kind of energetic explosion, right? Kind of like awakening.
Go to the same place.
Right, right.
So, you know what?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, now that there's so many better screens on places where you blog, mm-hmm. that most people blog on sites that screen these comments out so you don't have to have all that trash showing up as comments on your site.
Right, or and like now there is a piece. There's something called Akismet that comes with every single WordPress blog installation, and it is so good at catching spam, it's not even funny. So that's when I see a blog that has done that, you know, because I've installed a fair amount of them, and it collects. And once you really install that Akismet, whatever that little plugin is, it totally takes care of it. So
that's good, yeah. So, you know, that's what I was just saying, things have progressed a lot, you know, since that time. And, you know, we're talking about communities. Communities have also, I think, all the people that were part of communities in the 60s and 70s or that started communities in the 60s, mm-hmm. 70s, and 80s, they have a lot of knowledge of things that worked and things that didn't work.
Can you give me some examples? Yeah, really, seriously, because
here's what
I see. I see that online community, like Seth Godin just released his new book called Tribe, and so now people are starting to use that word, people that are in your tribe, people are really looking for, and I believe this, in times of chaos, in times of uncertainty, people are looking to be led, and more people are looking to be led.
Yeah, and I am a leader,
right.
And I understand.
And that's what the show is about. I'm finding those leaders.
Knowledge. Right, I have knowledge and I have the capacity to help people as you do, you know, in areas. So in communities, I mean, the thing that I think that, you know, I can tell you some of the things that I learned, and they absolutely, because real world and internet world are just mirror images of each other, what we call the real world. You know, and one of them is like, keep things clean, right? It's
mm-hmm.
like, keep it clean. So it's not, it's like, whatever your site is, you know, let it be known as that. If it evolves to something else, either
mm-hmm.
start another site or, mm-hmm. you know, have offshoots of that. But don't
mm-hmm.
lose the intent and don't start going in a million different directions because you can't sustain it by
Got
doing
it.
That.
So okay. then would that be kind of the – I remember the interesting story that you told me that I thought was so interesting was you decided that
Yogi Bhajan. Mm-hmm.
Yogi Bhajan. And that's where these yogi teas came from, too, right? Remember we were talking about
yeah.
that? A lot of people might not know that those yogi teas
started
come from
a
that.
Lot of products, yes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
but that
of products.
One of the interesting things I thought was that you actually were given this experience to go out and create these communities, but then you figured out that the people that showed up didn't have many skills.
They didn't, and we had to create jobs for them, which is, you know, when – I think that the next level of Web 2.0 is that the people who are really smart
mm-hmm.
are going to not only teach people the skills to be able to have this, but they're going to create the shells that these people need to be able to move into. Okay?
Mm.
So
when you say shells?
Shells. No, like a shell, like a house, basically. Okay?
Ah,
so
okay.
If you're doing Ning, if you're telling people how great Ning is at a site and, you know, all this kind of stuff, then part of the program is you will create a Ning site for them. You will teach them how to maintain that Ning site. You will show them how to do everything that has to do with Ning so that when they're finished with your webinar on Ning, they can actually have that running as a business.
Exactly. That is the whole plan for what I'm doing. And even further than that, to take it a step further, because everybody, what I found is that people that are experts, you are content creators. What you really like to do is create your content and go teach. And I got to tell you that what's emerging for me more than anything
yes.
in terms of the leaders that I'm working with, you really are committed to your teachers. And I'm a teacher, a teacher and a mentor. And so what's come about is the need and the necessity, and I've actually been in the process of acquiring this, is somebody that can run the community, that can manage the conversations in the community.
Absolutely.
You need
yeah.
ambassadors in the community that go mm-hmm. through and welcome people to the community. You know, those are, and I'm sure that, you know, if you were, when you were doing your community thing, that's part of what you had too. And so what I think is invaluable is that you have things that worked and things that didn't work. So let's talk maybe about some of the other things that didn't work that people now listening could say, hey, at least to me it's like what I realize Web 2.0 is for me, or Web 2.0, or the, what the world, the web is becoming, is much more social because the world that we live in is social. So the web is becoming a reflection of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as, that's why things are starting to, I can see the trend where things are starting to go into these online communities or private social networks, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm. Because people want a place where they actually feel like they belong and that they're seen and heard.
Right.
Yes.
And did your communities end up like that? Did you plan them? Did you guys, like, plan these out, or did they kind of just happen?
No. No, they just, we were sent out to start communities someplace and do that, and they were really communities based on a spiritual practice. But then you start running them, and you're like, oh, my God, and we still have to deal with who didn't clean up their dishes and, you know, who didn't do this. And you know,
were they based on one spiritual practice each, or did they each have a different spiritual practice, or were they all the same?
No, that would have been way too much. I mean, it was hard enough to, you know, just, no, it was a common spiritual practice, but it was like, in those days, we did everything. Like, we took turns cooking, you know, for everybody in the community. So it was like not only did you have your job, but you also had this cooking and you know, hopefully cleaning. And everybody's idea of what clean was
mm-hmm.
very different. And
mm-hmm.
you've seen my idea of clean, so you have
right.
some kind of an idea of what it was like for me to have people who had less than my idea of clean. So
well, we talked about that whole Pisces thing, too, because we're both Pisceans.
Yeah.
We really feel, we empathize and we feel all of that.
Yes, yeah, so you need to have clean environments, and I think that that's the same thing with these websites. When you were talking about, you know, that man that came in and his energy was very disruptive because all he was doing was pushing his thing, whatever his thing was, as opposed to becoming part of a community.
Right. He really did not seem to have any sense. And I run into this a lot, where people are totally oblivious of anything except their own agenda and what
right.
they want. And what I really think is going to happen is, you know, like the one community, the Cuatro community, closed ranks. Said, oh, wait a minute. Mm-mm. You're not coming in here. But they were made aware of the need to screen or to, you know, not allow people to just randomly join that really weren't about the spirit or, like you said, the spiritual practice in the community. It seems like there's this affinity that people have for community. And
yes, they're longing for it at this point in time.
Uh-huh. So I really think I want to see you maybe in the next 6 months launch a community because I think that there are people out there that really need this, what you have, and especially entrepreneurs. Because
mm-hmm.
our energy
mm-hmm.
tends to go in a lot of different ways. We have a lot of ideas. And, you know, I don't think there's anything, you know, more powerful, like right now, than somebody who can communicate an idea. But the first thing you have to do before you can communicate your idea, you have to be able to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't connect in that, like that guy, like the disruptive kind of a way, because that creates a repelling connection. Or like
right.
a disconnection, I guess. It's not a connection at all.
It does. It makes people want to run away from you.
Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. So, you know, so I want to just thank you for being somebody who's willing to go through that pain of that high learning curve and be willing to stick with it and now coming out on the other side of it with your, you know, with your learning curve about, you know, the LinkedIn and the Facebook and the Twitter and the video and the pictures and the images. And now that the platform's in place and you told me you just had a person subscribe and you had your first sale and now you got a blog. And so now it's time to just kind of gel it all together and then figure out what you're going to do for 2009, you know,
right.
to actually grow it and build your platform now more as this, you know, this person that's the energy guru.
Mm-hmm. It's totally true. Well, you just made me realize on here that I actually, you know, have all this knowledge of building community that I totally just kind of went, oh, well, yeah, okay. Yeah, I did that for 17 years.
The internet hasn't even been commercialized for 17 years. Because, see, that's what I picked up on you. But remember, sometimes you don't, because you're not listening, you're not able to hear it, but drawing the parallels to anybody that could create, to me, that has got to be the hardest thing in the world, to create a real community in the real world.
Create it and hold it together. The creating it is not such a big deal. It's the holding it together on a day-to-day level and meeting the needs and helping, you know, people with all of the situations of their lives and creating businesses to employ them. And, you know, especially when you had, two people who were liberal arts majors. So,
oh, that's right. Right. You know, so you were a liberal arts major, you and your husband, and you got this mandate to go out and create communities. And you didn't just create one. You created, sounds like, at least five or six.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that for 17 years?
Yes.
Now, tell me this, Trent. Let's. What do I want to say?
Yeah,
the word I'm looking
for. I've got this whole invaluable.
Let's compare and contrast to going to Ning and clicking a button and creating a community and clicking another button from your computer and uploading these videos and uploading this content, and all you got to do is go out to Facebook and write on people's walls and Twitter and maybe get out in the real world and drive people, you know, talk about them and send them to a link on the internet. I mean, come on, Gurutej.
A little bit easier, yes.
Yeah, don't you think? You think?
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, but I think what you have that, I've never started an online community, a community in the real world, let alone held it together, let alone to try to create jobs for people. You know, that's like some real response. I mean, that's a big deal. But just imagine the information you have. See, what I get from all that is there's a set of principles, there's a set of things that you do that work, no matter whether the community is in the real world or whether it's in the virtual world. People are the same. They want certain
mm-hmm.
things.
They do. They do. And I think the basic things is everybody wants to belong. That's why
mm-hmm.
this is all just like going, blah, 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 just growing so exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
They want to belong. They want to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things
and
that I've noticed in online community. Not even online community, but even in the world when I worked in corporate America for 23 years, mm-hmm. acknowledgement, people will work for recognition.
Right, right.
They just want to know that somebody knows that they're alive.
Right.
You know?
One of my students was doing all the stuff at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. She was their program director, their
mm-hmm.
training director. And she said that. She said, we think that people are driven by money. She said most of the people there, when they were asked what they would need to make them really, you know, feel connected and loyal and everything, had nothing to do with money. Had
right.
everything to do with acknowledgement and, you know, being seen and being given the next thing that they could do that could, you know, take them where they wanted to go or just to be acknowledged.
Well, something that comes to mind that you do, that you have with what it is that you're doing around one's personal energy and knowing how to channel that energy or, release the bad energy and rejuvenate yourself with good energy is that's a piece. Like when you don't feel acknowledged or you don't feel like doing something, you don't really, it really affects you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, you're not really good at interacting with other people. You don't really want to.
Right. You're not. No. And just absolutely this, one of my friends who has a business is going through really, really tough times, but she was so really good to her people, always, 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 made them feel like a family and connected them. And she said to me today, she said, you know, these two brothers that work there, she said, they told me that they would work for me anywhere, anytime the rest of their lives. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm like, yes, but it's no mystery to me because you treated them so well. You treat everybody really well. So she has all these people that are willing to follow her or go anywhere with her. It's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, as soon as you have anything, you know, let us know. We'll be back and we'll be here with you.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Because we're coming up on the 1 o'clock hour, and this is an hour long show, and this has been just the greatest conversation, and that's really what I wanted to do when I have the people that I know, that I respect, that I love, that I'm working with. When I brought them on, I just wanted to have conversations. And so thanks for being
mm-hmm.
in a conversation. What I want to find out, though, is let's bring it back to, you know, if somebody is feeling fragmented, they don't really know, you know, they just don't know what's wrong, or they just feel scattered. So the three, you know, you tie this stuff into something that is the chakras, right? Things like that too. What are the areas? What's the first area they need to look? What should somebody like just stop? And, you know, when you feel yourself going there, what should they do?
Well, it's really about changing a pattern, which is we make it sound so easy, but we all know it's not. So it's choosing to do something different. Instead of, you know, doing your regular thing of when you're, you know, oh, God, that was such a hideous conversation, so then I'm going to spin it in my head for the next 2 hours or days or weeks.
Or I'm going to go eat something like me.
Absolutely. I'm going to go eat something. I'm going to, you know, stop breathing. I'm going to call somebody and whine and complain.
Mm-hmm.
That we make different choices. And one of those choices is just simply go onto YouTube and just watch one of these videos and do it with me. You know, do it with me. Buy the flip chart, put it on your desk, and utilize, you know, like flip to a page and just go, I am going to do this. And I'll tell you, an easy thing to do is get a couple of your friends who are on board with you so that you have support, because one of the biggest things in changing a habit is you have to have support. Why do people go to NA and AA and OA when they, you know, want to change something so that they have the support?
So instead of having a pity party, you have this energy party.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you find somebody who's your friend and you say, when I call you and complain next time, I want you to say, have you done your flip chart? Have you gone, you know, and watched that DVD and done that?
Have you gone to YouTube.com, The Energy Guru, or have you gone to GuruTej.com?
Yeah.
Let's just make sure we let people know how they can access this wisdom that you have, that you've acquired over the past 40 years. It's GuruTej, GuruTej.com.
Right.
And the other one is The Energy Gurus. .com?
The energygurus.com, yes.
Okay, GURUS.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go to youtube.com/theenergyguru to find those videos that can help them instantly, you know, shake off whatever it is. And one thing I'd like to find out is, do you have any final tips for people who want to get started on a real program of these are quick things you can do, but like you just said, people have these patterns and these habits that they've acquired for many, many years. Do you have anything that you have for them that they can work with you personally, or, you know, is there a program that you're running, or, you know, tell me a little bit about how you take people that want to go deeper into this.
Yes, I do. I've got, I have a program on my website that you can sign up for a personal consultation plus some support tools. And in the next few months, I will have a teleseminar series that people can sign up for that will help them to really, you know, it'll be a 6-week program, which is 40 days, which is, you know, a place where you can start, you know, get a pattern broken and start forming a new pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And
so 40 days, that would do that.
That's the 40 days thing, yeah. So, you know, 40 days to really retrain yourself to have different patterns.
Out of this, I'm interested about the personal consultation that you would do with someone. How would that work? They don't need to be physically present. You can talk to them over the phone?
I can talk to them over the phone, and I can work with them on things that they need, and then figuring out, like, what they need for support. Do they need to do this once a week? Do they need to do this once a month, once every 3 months? What do they need for check-in and support? You know, when you're starting something, you know, new, you usually need at least once a week for 6 weeks. But then after that, it depends on the person.
I know that one of the things that we talked about that I found so interesting, and maybe you could share a little bit more with whoever's listening to this, is that you made me aware that I have an energy pattern or a personal energy pattern that I'm more energetic in certain times of the day. You want to share a little bit about that and helping people figure that out.
Everybody has different energy patterns, and they're different times of the day. There's people that, like, work late into the night, and they're so good late in the night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're dreadful in the morning, and so it's very challenging that we have this society that agrees it's 9 to 5 or 9 to 10 or whatever it is, you know, depending on where you work, but that if people could actually realize what their patterns were and, you know, work as much as they can with those patterns that they get to work with their times that they're more productive. And the times that they're less productive, do things that don't require so much brain space. Maybe it's your time to, like, really, you know, do something that's visionary, or your time to do something that you're taking care of other people and or other things and responsibilities in your life, or that you can, you know, be good with somebody else, not necessarily be doing your own projects that you're not, you don't have everything there at that point.
Uh-huh. So, and you're able to help people, give them clues or coach them through figuring out when those times might be for them.
I think so many people already know. They just, it doesn't necessarily work for their life. So they just feel a little bit upset by the fact that they can't do it. So,
what's the name of that program? You called it the Executive something. I can't remember what it was.
The Executive Ally Program.
The Executive Ally Program. That's the one I'm talking about. So that's the one that we're just, are we talking about that one right now?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes,
tell me.
It's for everyone. It's not just for executives. It's really for people in themselves to figure out how they can, you know, do it.
Right, right. But our audience here is going to be people who are more entrepreneurial. They may be executives. They may be running their own companies. And so
right.
Having you as an executive ally, tell me just a little bit more about that program. How does that one work?
The most important thing of it is for every executive, if they are going to have this program to work for them, they have to figure out how they work best. And that's what this program can help them do. Because if you really are, I mean, for you, you found out that you work really best in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a lag time, right?
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
in that lag time, that's when you can take care of your parents, you can take care of the other things that are calling out in your life, and then you get another boost during
right.
the day, right?
Right.
So most
mm-hmm.
people who are entrepreneurial have that leeway, and if they actually give themselves permission, because most people, I mean, start their businesses like, I know somebody who doesn't start her business till 9:30 or 10, but she works until 10 or 11 at night. That's what works for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I usually start earlier in the morning because that works
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then I also, you know, do a lot of things during the day. But it's
how
really
do you support someone in, when you say, like, ally? I like that. That's like somebody that's really there to help me. So the way that you support them in that is you help them figure that out, and then there are some things that you do with them. Like weekly, you help them figure out what it is, you know, how to maximize or how to maximize their time when they're most productive.
How to maximize their time, how to, you know, like if you really need to be really productive in the afternoon, what you eat at lunch really matters, okay?
Mm.
If you have the time to take a nap after lunch and that's your downtime and you've given yourself that downtime, then you can eat something heavier for lunch if, you know, that's what works for you because you're going to be working, you know, later at night because that's really your best time.
Mm-hmm.
So it does work for you to take a nap. But if you know that your just naps don't work for you during the day, then pay attention to what you eat so then you don't have to jack yourself up with coffee, you know, to make it through the afternoon.
You know what this reminds me of that you really do that, you know, the guys, as we can say, like the Brian Tracy has a program, they call it time management, but what it really feels like to me is energy management.
It is energy management, yes, yeah.
And that you're somebody that can help people manage their energy much more efficiently and effectively. And
absolutely.
That's the platform
but
that you're building for yourself out there?
Identifying themselves and not by necessarily putting on everybody that it's the same. It is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Eating is not the same for everybody. You know, as much as I'd love everybody to be vegetarians because of what it does to the climate and what it does to, you know, the ecology because of the carbon footprint of, like, moving all of that animals to meat and the forest deforestation and that,
oh, my gosh. You know what? You're going to have to come back, and we're going to have to talk about that because I just heard that I had 90 seconds left. But that is something else that we can talk about, people and businesses that, you know, the things that we're doing that we could actually would end up benefiting us much better health-wise and
absolutely.
Be better for the planet.
And save money. Yeah, absolutely. Save money and benefit you, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call greening people, right?
Exactly. You call it greening people, and this is such a great note to end on. Guru Tej, thank you so much for coming on today at such short notice. And everybody listening, GuruTej.com, GuruTej.com, and TheEnergyGurus.com. She is an online thought leader, and I want you to watch her in 2009 because she's going places.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening, and thank you so much, Michelle, for having me be part of this.
Yes, appreciate you.
Bless you.
All right. Talk to you next week. Well, I'll talk to everybody else next week, and I'll talk to you probably tomorrow, okay? All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.